Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Please give a warm welcome to Shannon Kay from Hartford, Connecticut. Welcome, Shannon. Thank you for being here.
Hello, hello, everyone. My name is Shannon and I am an alcoholic. First of all, I just want to say I'm really grateful to be here. I want to thank maybe it was Sunny who asked me. I'm not sure who asked me, but whoever I got the text from, thank you. It is always an honor and a privilege to get to share my sobriety, right? Because I am the kind of person where, you know, my safe space when I was a drinking alcoholic was sitting in my closet all by myself. And so the fact that I get invited to be anywhere just always just means so much to me. So thank you for having me. There's so much to share on step 11 and I've got 30 minutes. Thanks for the timer, Kim. So I'm just going to, I'm not exactly sure what about step 11 is going to come out today, though I've got my big book and my 12 and 12 handy. And so let's just see where this goes. I will start by telling you that my sponsor is, my sobriety date is January 2nd, 1988. My sponsor is the one and only most fabulous Polly Pistol. My grand sponsor is the one and only most fabulous Rena Keene. Both of them are super instrumental. I know, right, Lisa? Both of them are super instrumental in my sobriety and my experience of step 10 and 11. And I will speak to step 11, but they do go very hand in hand for me. So my home group is the Back Porch International online meeting. We meet at the same time of day, 7 days a week. And so I think it's a great time of day to go to a meeting. I'm really happy to be here. So I am going to qualify really, really quickly and tell you that I am a garbage can. I will stick to alcohol, but I will do anything, especially if it's free. Those are my favorite kinds of outside issues when they're free. But I am the youngest of five children, four of us still living. I grew up in Los Angeles in a fantastically alcoholic home, a fantastically violent home. That's not why I'm an alcoholic, but it is just part of my story. And the part of my story that is important in that is it gave me access to just about, I mean, it just gave me access to copious amounts of alcohol at a really young age in life. And so I was restless, irritable, and discontent from the get-go. I didn't know those words till I got here, of course. But I started stealing my own stash by the time I was 12. I was a blackout drinker pretty much from the get-go. I was stealing people's cars. I didn't call it stealing because I knew most of the people whose cars I stole. So for some reason in my alcoholic brain, I thought that wasn't stealing. But they did not give me permission to take their car at 3 o'clock in the morning and drive into Hollywood or Venice and spend the night gallivanting around Hollywood and Venice. I had many, many near-death experiences. And by the time I was 18, I was asked to leave a country. And that's where drinking was taking me. But more than that, by the time, well, long before I was 18, right? I am a teenage alcoholic, which by definition makes me a liar, cheat, and a thief. I couldn't drink all the time, but I'll tell you, I thought about drinking all the time. And my entire life revolved around when I was getting that next opportunity to drink, whether it was later that day or 3 days away or whatever it was, my entire life revolved around it. And so, I got here to Alcoholics Anonymous because I was telling a family friend about some of my travel escapades. And what I didn't know is that family friend was a member of Al-Anon. And had I known she was a member of Al-Anon, I would have told her a different story. But alas, she was a member of Al-Anon. And I am ever grateful to the program of Al-Anon because you'd have a different speaker today if it wasn't for the program of Al-Anon. And she suggested to me that I go to 6 meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, if you're new to AA here in AA, we suggest you try 90 meetings in 90 days. Like, just give it a try. It's really easy to do on Zoom these days. But my experience, which is what I'm here to share with you today, is she suggested I go to 6 meetings. And I said to her in that moment, I said, I know I'm an alcoholic, but what does that have to do with anything? Like, I genuinely did not connect the dots. I knew I didn't drink normally. I knew that once I started, all bets were off as to what was going to happen. But I just didn't see the connection. And I'll tell you, when I got here to Alcoholics Anonymous, I do not feel like I found my people. I did not walk into AA and go, oh, I'm home. No, I did not like you. I did not want what you had. But what I knew for certain was that I didn't want what I had. And I had wanted to die for a really long time, right? And I woke up every morning so angry at the universe that I had to breathe through another day. And I knew I didn't want what I had, but I didn't like you all and I didn't really want what you had. And that's how I started my journey here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And so I'm gonna fast forward a little bit because I really want to dive into this 11th step because there's so much rich here. But I'll tell you that the most important thing I want to tell you about step 11 and 10 and 11 together, the most important thing that I want to tell you is I've had seasons of my sobriety where I have been diligent about steps 10 and 11. And I've had seasons of my sobriety where I have not been diligent about step 10 and 11. And I'll say I probably really didn't do step 10 and 11 with any kind of meeting until after 10 years of sobriety. But even after that, there have been seasons where I haven't been really committed to a step 10 and 11 practice. And as it says in our third step prayer, I'm here to bear witness, right? Like I'm here just to share my experience, strength, and hope. I'm here to bear witness that those seasons of my life, when I have done step 10 and 11 diligently, they are more peaceful. They are more joy-filled. They are healthier, even when the outside of my life is chaos. Those seasons where I'm doing step 10 and 11 faithfully and diligently, I have those things I dream about, which is like peace of mind and joy and comfort in my own skin, which were not things I wanted when I got here. Like what I wanted when I got here was just to stop rocking and rolling all the time, right? And so I actually just did a 10 and 11 workshop with some of my sponsees. And so I had these at my fingertips and I'm going to share with you some of the promises of step 11 as they're written in our big book in our 12 and 12. Cause I go like, even today, I'm like, oh yes, I want some of that, right? An unshakable foundation for life. Oh yes, please. I want some of that. Strength, not ordinarily found on my own, right? Wisdom. Increasing peace of mind, which stands firm in the face of difficulty. Yeah, I want some of that. And in our big book, it says, if I follow these directions carefully, I'm then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, foolish decisions, or exhaustion. And there's this little tiny sentence that like we giggle at when we read it in a meeting and it says, it works. It really does. Like I'm here to tell you it works. It really does. All right. So let me step back and tell you that when I was 20 years sober, I was coming out of another failed relationship. I went into a really dark depression in my sobriety. And my sponsor at the time was Polly P. And Polly said she gave me direction to do three things. And they're really critical in what I'm going to share with you about my experience of step 10, 11 or step 11. So I want you to go back and I want you to find everything Bill Wilson wrote about long-term sobriety, about depression and his own depression. And I did that. The second thing I want you to do is I want you to go through the big book and I want you to circle everywhere it says the word ask. And then I want you to actually stop and ask. So here's the gig. I was 20 years sober and I had read the big book in the 12 and 12. I can't tell you how many times. And I had read step 10 and 11 and I had been given direction to read page 84 to the end of the chapter every day, blah, blah, blah. But had I ever actually stopped and asked where it said ask? Total rocket science. And then she said, and then I want you to go do, not just read, I want you to do step 10 and 11 in the big book and the 12 and 12 exactly the way it's written in the big book and the 12 and 12. Now here's the deal. Bill Wilson encourages in our writings to go explore all kinds of things. And I have gone and explored all kinds of things. And I still do some outside things. And I encourage you to go explore all of those things that speak to you, right? My suggestion and my experience is that when I started doing my outside spiritual practices with exactly what it says in the big book in the 12 and 12, my relationship with my higher power changed. And when my relationship with my higher power changed, I was less fearful in life. And when I was less fearful in life, the rest of my life got better, even when my husband's ex-wife was still calling DCF on us for no good reason, but just to, you know, be a big F you to him and me. When my oldest son wasn't talking to us, when I had these medical things going on, when finances were tough, right? Like, so life is still going on. But I'll tell you that when I'm doing this step 10 and 11 diligently, I have that strength and that peace of mind that I don't know where it comes from. I don't know where it comes from. Anyways, so I did what Polly suggested I do, which because I was so, I was so brought to my knees in sobriety. So higher power. I'm just going to talk about that for 2 seconds. The word God. If you don't like the word God, if you're struggling with God, like welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm just going to share my experience, strength, and hope. I wanted nothing to do with God when I got here. Well, I wanted nothing to do with you either. But anyways, that's beside the point, right? I got sober in Switzerland and I was a firecracker. I mean, this is me like calm, right? So like I was a firecracker when I was brand new. I was like rocking and rolling like all the time. And I would be up at 4:30 in the morning. And oh my God, I lived on this mountaintop in Switzerland. And I'd just like get out the door and I'd start hiking up the mountain. And I'd get to a point in the top of that mountain and I'd watch the sun come up over the Alps. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I had nothing to do with the sun coming up over the Alps and that that was my power greater than me. And even today, when I pray, I pray to divine wisdom, infinite compassion, and whatever it is that brought the sun up in the east this morning. Because here's my experience of my higher power. I was told by a sponsor, God is not a feeling. I get to make a choice that God either is or isn't. And so like the sun, if it's nighttime or if it's snowing out, I don't doubt whether the sun exists. Like I know for certain that the sun exists. I can't see it. I can't feel it. But I know for certain that the sun exists. And my sponsor at the time suggested that I just kind of treat my higher power in the same way, whether I can see it, whether I can feel it or not. You know, I'm often referring to whatever it is that brought the sun up in the east this morning. So tap into whatever that is for you. And I'll share some more of my experience, strength, and hope here. So I'm not going to speak to step 10, but I will tell you that step 10 for me is spiritual Drano. So if I am doing step 10 on a regular basis, it's like the Drano in my bathroom sink. If I'm not putting Drano in my bathroom sink on a somewhat regular basis, it gets clogged. I can still turn the water on, which is like step 11. I can still turn the water on to get the flow. But if it's all gunked up with resentment and irritation and fear and all of those things that it gets gunked up with, the flow does, I can't connect to my higher power as readily or as powerfully as if I'm doing step 10 on a regular basis. So that's all I'm going to say about step 10, but just the two go together for me. Okay, so step 11. And Polly told me, I want you to go do step 11 exactly the way it is in the big book in the 12 and 12. So I'm on page 86 of the big book. I'm not going to read stuff line for line, but what I'm going to tell you is that from 86 to the bottom of page 87, well, top of page 88, Bill is really clear. There's three parts to step 11. There's something we do in the morning. There's something we do all day. And then there's something we do at night. Now, Bill started with the at night part, which I appreciate because I do just about everything backwards. I always read the last page of a novel before I'll read the first page. My husband thinks I'm crazy. I won't watch a movie until I know what the end is. Like, I loved it. I was like, this makes total sense to me. We're going to start with the end of the day instead of the start of the day, right? So anyways, so there's directions on what we do at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, we retire at night. This is step 11. In my opinion, this is not step 10. This is step 11. Because here's the nighttime routine of step 11. The nighttime routine is I am to ask. The last line of that paragraph on page 86, after making my review, I ask. Oh, and Polly told me to circle the word ask and then actually stop and ask. I ask for God's forgiveness. And then I inquire. Inquire is another word for ask. So I circled the word inquire. And then I ask what corrective measures I should take. Now, here's the deal. I don't really like the word forgiveness. I'm not that bad of a person. I came in here with my first sponsor said, you have self-esteem that's lower than whale poop. And so I didn't need to get beaten over the head every day with this practice, right? And so I went and read some of Emmett Fox's material. And Emmett Fox was a big inspiration to Bill Wilson. And Emmett Fox defined sin, if you will, or those things that we need to ask forgiveness from about anything I put between me and my higher power. Ooh, I could relate to that. And so I ask God to clear the slate, forgiveness, clear the slate for anything that I put between me and my higher power today. My fear, my arrogance, my beating Shannon up. I mean, that has been a biggie the last couple years. Right? My irritation with customer service people, my financial fear, my health fears, my husband's ex-wife, right? Anything that I put between me and God, I just ask God for some forgiveness and what corrective actions I should take. But what am I asking forgiveness for? In my opinion, those are those questions above. The questions above are helping me get clarity about what am I asking for forgiveness for? And so all of those questions I've turned into first person. Right? Was I resentful today? Was I selfish today? Was I dishonest today? Was I afraid today? Do I owe an apology today? Here's one of my favorites. Was I kind and loving toward all? Right? Newsflash, you are part of the all. I didn't know that. I had to have a sponsor point that out to me. So today, nine times out of 10, when I put no, it's because I beat the out of Shannon all day today. I don't do enough. I'm not doing the right stuff. I've made bad food trip. I'm beating Shannon up, right? But if I'm answering these questions and I'm looking at them on a daily basis, oh, then I know what to ask my higher power for help with really clearly, right? And if I drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, well, that just means I get to go do more step 10 before I get to really plug into my higher power. All right, and then what do I do in the morning for my step 10? My step 11, sorry. So in the book, it says on awakening, let us look at the hours, 24 hours ahead. We consider our plan for the day. Before we begin, we ask. Oh, there's that word ask again. We ask God to direct our thinking. Hi, God. Infinite wisdom, divine compassion, whatever it is that brought the sun up in the east this morning, please, please, please direct my thinking today. Right? When I stop and actually ask where it says ask, it feels so different than just reading it. Right? I ask for freedom from self-pity. I mean, self-pity is like one of my constant companions. I'm still working on that one, man. She's one of my best friends, seriously. Dishonest, self-seeking motives, right? Farther down, it says when we face indecision, we ask God for inspiration and intuitive thought or decision. Hi, God, I humbly ask you for some inspiration here, an intuitive thought or decision, right? Help me to relax and take it easy so that I do not struggle, right? When I'm putting these words in prayer rather than just reading them in my book, it has a totally different feel in my 11th step. The end of that prayer is over on page 87. I pray that I be shown all through the day what my next step is to be, right? So I had a medical procedure yesterday. It usually makes me a little kooky, and I sort of walk in circles all morning the next morning and all morning long. And I won't swear here, but I swear at my God all the time. We have a very honest and real relationship for me. And I'll be like, you know, like you got, you just like, what is the next step I'm supposed to take, man? Like, tell me, like, dude, like, mama, tell me what is the next step I'm supposed to take? Cause like, I am walking in circles here to make me look cuckoo. Oh, make yourself a cup of coffee. Oh, I can do that. Okay, cool. Awesome. I'll just go make the coffee and do nothing else. All right. And then that next line, that I'd be given whatever I need to take care of such problems. Right. And here's the kicker for me. I throw in the word trust, that I trust I'm going to be given whatever I need to face all my problems. Cause if I trust that there's a power bigger than Shannon that's going to give me everything I need to solve my problems today, I actually don't need to freak out about anything. I don't. Here's what I know. If I've done a thorough first step, I know for certain, I have demonstrable evidence that Shannon Run and Shannon Show doesn't work. I have demonstrable evidence of that. And I am certain that there is not a single problem in Shannon's life today where the solution is more Shannon. And I, again, by doing written inventory, I have demonstrable evidence of that. So in my 10th step, one of the things I write in my 10th step is, where did I see my higher power today? And as a result of that, I have demonstrable evidence that I can go back to and trust that this higher power has, over the last 35 years of my sobriety, absolutely given me the solution to every problem I've ever had. And I've had lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of problems. And so why would I doubt that today? I don't need to doubt that today. So I put that in prayer in the morning. I'll tell you, I have it on a picture on my phone. I recorded it as an audio message in my phone. I have it in different places around my house so that if I don't have time to sit in really quiet prayer meditation in the morning, I still have places I can access that prayer to start my day. All right, so we've got an end of the day practice. We've got a morning practice. And now here's the middle of the day practice. And the middle of day practice begins on the very bottom of page 87. As we go through the day, that's how I know it's my all through the day practice, right? I have really clear steps. One, I pause. When I'm agitated or doubtful, I'm here to tell you that I've been agitated so much this morning. I've done this a lot, which I actually think is really funny. And then two, I ask. There's that word ask again. I ask for the right thought or action. Hi, God, it's Shannon here. It's day after infusion. I'm a little out of my mind. I got to speak at 12 and I'm not sure whether I should like go back to bed or run a marathon. Like, can you please, I humbly ask you for the next right thought. Right? And then right after that, I remind myself I am no longer running the show. And people who know me well, my sponsees know that So I put my hand over my heart, my chest, whatever. And I just, oh, sweet Shan, this is your friendly reminder, sweetheart. You are not running the show right now. Oh, baby girl, just a loving reminder, honey pie. And I don't know why I get a little bit of a Southern drawl when I'm having that conversation with myself, but it just happens. Like a couple people pointed out to me, I've never lived in the South. Don't know what that's about, but there you go. Right? Like, oh, honey pie, you are not running the show. There is something far bigger than you that is. And I can just go, thank God. And in our book, it says, and then we say, thy will be done. For me personally, those words, thy will be done, don't resonate with my soul. Bill doesn't care. Bill's really clear in a couple places. If those words don't resonate with you, do what feels authentic for you, but still conveys the sentiment fully. Right? Now, if you read those words and you go to your 12 and 12, at the end of step 3 in the 12 and 12, and I know we're on step 11, but at the end of step 3 in the 12 and 12, the very last paragraph of step 3 in the 12 and 12 says, in all times of emotional disturbance or indecision, we 1, pause. We 2, ask for quiet. And 3, in the stillness, simply say, God, grant me the serenity. Fill in the prayer. And so I know that if Bill wrote something in 1939, and then he wrote it again 15 years later, somewhere that piece, that nugget of our spiritual practice had stood the test of time for 20 years. And so it's a piece I'm going to pay extra special attention to. And I'll tell you that when I was 20 years sober and I wanted to kill myself in sobriety and I was in that dark depression, it's this little nugget that I held on to for my very life. To pause and ask for quiet. Hi, God, I am desperately, humbly asking you for a nanosecond of silence from the hamster wheel of my head. And in that nanosecond, say, please grant me some serenity because I don't have it on the natch. I don't have it on the natch, right? And this is me stone cold sober, right? This is me stone cold sober. And there might be some of you that are in there like, whoa, man, I hope I'm further along at 35 than she is, but I'm just here to share my experience, strength, and hope. So then I went to the 12 and 12 and I read in the 12 and 12 what it said for us to do. And again, following Polly's directions when I was at that time in my sobriety to do exactly as it said in the big book in the 12 and 12. And in the 12 and 12, it sends us to the St. Francis prayer, or Lord, make me a channel of thy peace. I'm not going to read the whole prayer, but you read the whole prayer. And at the very end of it, it says, and now I'm on page 99 of my 12 and 12, but depending on what printing you have, your page might be off a page or two. And but at the end of the St. Francis prayer in the 12 and 12, it says, as beginners in meditation, we might now reread this prayer several times very slowly. Well, I don't know about you, but I have a really busy life. I want like efficient, laser focused, but I was desperate enough in sobriety to be like, okay, I'll do exactly what it says in the big book. And by that time in my sobriety, I had been a Buddhist meditator for 10 years. I had done spiritual hikes. I love labyrinths to this day. I had gone back to the church in my childhood. I was a religion teacher for years. Oh my God, I tried so many things. And I had always loved the St. Francis prayer. I'd always loved this prayer. But actually do what Bill just said right there, I had never actually done that. And so I took each line and that was my one day meditation. Lord, make me a channel. 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 Right. Peace. Peace. Wow. On the natch, I don't know nothing about peace. Seriously. I don't know nothing about it on my own. Right. And then the next line, where there's hatred, may I bring love. Where there's hatred, may I bring love. And I'll tell you how this plays in my day-to-day life today. And I'm watching the clock pretty tightly. I have a super blended, messy, like his, mine, adopted dogs. I mean, it's just messy around here, like all the time. Right. And so I have these words posted around my house. Peace, love, forgiveness, harmony, truth, faith, hope, light, comfort, understand, love, forgiveness, right? There's a reason why love and forgiveness are in there twice, right? And so maybe my stepson's coming over for dinner who has been super incredibly nasty to me, right? And so, Lord, make me a channel of harmony. May I be a channel of harmony just through this dinner, just through this dinner, right? Or I have a sponsee who's calling and I know she's going to talk to me about that boyfriend one more time that we've been talking about for a year and a half. God, make me a channel of understanding. Just understanding, right? Honesty, maybe some, let's throw some honesty in there, but understanding, right? Like these words are anchors in my day all the time, everywhere. I have them in my phone. I've recorded them on audio. I have them on, I'd get up and show you around my house and you could, they're on my fridge. They're on my bathroom mirror. They're huge built-in forgetter in here, right? And so for me, this step 10 and 11 practice, and I'll wrap up by saying that at the beginning of the pandemic, I had mentioned earlier, I have a super severe immune deficiency. And even before everything shut down in March, I had doctor direction to basically go in lockdown. And I thought, sweet, doctor direction to isolate. I love it. Fortunately, there was another voice in my head that said, Shan, that might just kill you. Because I know isolation kills for me. And I went, oh my God, I got scared. And I said, I'm going to double down on my step 10 and 11 practice at the beginning of the pandemic. And I have been diligent and consistent. And there has been so much that has happened in my life in the last 3-4 years, some pandemic related and some just life related. But the promises that it says at the beginning of this book, at the beginning of these that I read earlier, right? I have this foundation that is pretty solid. I've had strength that's not my own. I've had wisdom and ideas and resources that have come to me. Right? I have an increasing peace of mind that absolutely has stood firm in the face of difficulty. But more important to that, I live comfortably in my skin today, even when I'm rocking and rolling a day after a medical procedure. Like Shan's okay with Shan today. Because between me, my God, and my sponsor, I'm good. I'm current. I'm clean. I do this practice. I'm doing my spiritual Drano. I'm letting the flow as much as it can. And as a result of that, on some days, I have this elusive modicum of emotional sobriety. I really do believe step 10 and 11 is the secret sauce to emotional sobriety. If there's anything that you want to talk more about, I've posted my phone number and email in the chat. I love talking about steps 10 and 11, and it's absolutely been an honor and a privilege to come share with you today. So thanks for letting me be here.